to come and share the word of the Lord. We appreciate him and trust the Lord will touch his voice and touch his soul to be able to minister to our hearts and our lives. Thank God for his precious word. God bless you, Brother Varnum.
Thank you, Brother. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Don't it feel good to be in the house of the Lord? Let's take a moment and clap our hands. Close your eyes. Think about how good he is. I love you, Jesus. You are great and greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we worship you. We exalt you. Oh, it feels good to let a hallelujah out. It feels good to let a thank you, Jesus, just flow right out of you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am telling you, there is nothing like serving God. And I'm excited. I've got all kind of things going through my mind right now. And I am just excited to be here and to know that God is here. And where Jesus is, anything can happen. Anything can happen. I'm a firm believer that if you're sick, you should leave well. I believe if you're here and you're dealing with addictions, you should leave set free by the power of God. My Jesus never showed up anywhere and left things as they were. He changed things. And if Jesus is here, I believe that you can leave changed. Praise God. And you may be seated. I'll keep standing. Seems to be the way it normally works anyhow. And what an honor to be here, Brother Glover, and his reputation has gone years ago. My father going, I believe it was the East Coast Conference, is that where it was? I had to go with him and be under that ministry there. And Brother Eichert, what a great, this morning when he was talking about being specific about what you're praying about. Now, I won't go into it. This is a long story that I won't go into. But my wife and I prayed. As soon as we found out we were pregnant with our second child, Lord, we want this to be as quick and as we want a good pregnancy, and we want the delivery to be as quick and as painless as possible. Every night I prayed that. Lord, we want a good pregnancy, and we want the delivery to be as quick and as painless as possible. Well, the contractions built up really quick, and we got on our way to the hospital. And it happened quick, and it happened as painless as possible, but we did not make it to the hospital. So I told my wife, the next time we will pray, Lord, make it quick and as painless as possible at the hospital. That's what I want to pray. You got to be specific about these things. So I delivered our child going down the road at 70 miles an hour, and she hasn't slowed down yet. She's a chip off the old block, I guess. And so, but God does great things, and you need to be pray about it and say, Lord, I want this and I want that to happen. And I believe if we will pray that way, God will do it. And I'm so thankful, Brother Adams. He took us out there to fish and he didn't leave us out there to drown. I'm so thankful for that. And he did such a, it was wonderful. We had a great time. I've learned all kind of fishing stories when I'm up here. One guy was talking about, I can't remember who was saying this, but he was talking about a bass. I don't know if you ever went bass fishing before, but that's big in Florida. He said, you wouldn't believe this, but I caught a bass the other day that was about that far from the boat right there. It was about that far from the boat. And see, I'm learning these things. I'm learning those. And I'm also learning all the bald jokes, all these things I'm growing in. My ministry has never stopped. You'll never stop growing in your ministry. Hallelujah. But God's doing so many great things, and I want to just put something inside of you. I'm going to preach something that... I can't say that I can, well, I could say God spoke to me yesterday to preach this, but I can't say it's the first time he told me to speak this. As a matter of fact, I believe the first time I ever spoke this at a youth camp was here about 15 years ago. And I feel, I've gotten other sermons since 15 years ago. I just want you to know that. Our poor church would be in trouble every Sunday morning. Here we go again. But I just feel like I need to say it, and I need to put it in me and in every single person here, what God wants to do for us. It's bigger than what we can imagine. It's greater than what we can imagine. I am not of the opinion that we are going to eke into the pearly gates. I am not of the opinion that the church is going to be this hunkered down, defeated church. church walking in there, but I believe that we are going to come with power. I believe that we're going to see the greatest revival. I don't think we've seen what God hasn't showed his best stuff yet. I still think there's more out there. Greater things are yet to come. I just believe it with everything inside of me. And I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. I want it to be said of me what was said of a man that we don't know a whole lot about, other than that he pleased God. And the Bible says that God took Enoch, and all that we know is that he pleased God. He had done the will of God. Somehow, he, in the midst of a world that was going mad, sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? In the midst of a world that was not acknowledging God, somehow he did the things that made God go, wow, that's what I'm talking about. And we find him in the Word of God, and it's interesting what God did. God actually just took him out of the world and left the world. The next person we see that God really seemed to like was Noah, and what God did with Noah is the reverse. He left him there and took the rest of the world out. But then we've got Abraham. That's the, far as I could tell, that's the next one that we really find that God dealt with. And God didn't do either one of those things. He left the world there, and he left Abraham there. And he said, you're going to have to learn to walk by faith in the world that you're in. And God doesn't say, your father, go back to your father. Who got ascended? I just said his name a minute ago. Enoch, thank you. Enoch, thank you so much. See, this is a group participation here. Enoch, we didn't say our father Enoch, and he doesn't say our father Noah. He said our father Abraham. He was saying that's who you're going to look to, because I'm not just going to take you out of all the problems, and I'm not going to take all your problems away from you. But every day, you're going to start walking in faith, doing the will of God. And I believe that's what we're here today. We are walking in the footsteps of our father Abraham. And some of you took some great steps of faith to just get here this morning. You had other things you could be doing. They opened this. Well, that don't matter to y'all, but for us, they opened the season. We can get more fish. Y'all can get as many as y'all want, I think, or something like that. But there's other things we could be doing. But by faith, we said, I'm going back to the house of God. Haven't you been there before? Yes. But today, I think God's going to have something for me. And I believe it. I believe that you're not here by accident. Before I get started in this message, I want you to connect with this thought that God brought you here today for a reason, for a purpose. I didn't fly to Alaska just to fish, Brother Glover. I came to preach by the power and the authority of the Word of God, so you can leave changed and challenged and stirred. Will you lift your hands and lift your voice right now? In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind fear and doubt, and I loose faith and favor. In the name of Jesus, God, let your perfect will be done in the name of Jesus. Oh. Oh, I feel faith in the house. I feel faith right now. I feel faith begin to work right now. Oh, Jesus. I've done the will of God before, and so have you. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter. Lots of great things being said. But chapter 10 says that you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might obtain the promise. Well, I've done the will of God, but it's after you have done the will of God. How long after? I don't know. Abraham walked with God for a long time. He'd done the will of God the first step he took out of his homeland. But after he had done the will of God, he obtained the promise. And you've got to have patience and just keep doing the right thing, no matter what anybody else is saying or doing. This is what I'm doing because I want to do the will of God. There's a lie in our world. There is a misunderstanding in our world. And I see so many people saying, well, I'm just waiting for the will of God to be done in my life. It just won't work. The will of God is not simply done. I don't know where we've got this concept from, but it's not from God. Not from the Word of God, but the will of God is just going to be done. It's not. The Bible says it is His will that none would perish. But we know that there's a lot of people that's going to perish. just because it's his will that it's going to happen don't mean, and God's got a will, he's got a direction for your life, but just because his will is for you to do something for him, he's not going to make you do it. What you've got to do is you can't just say, I'm just going to let the will of God unfold in my life. You've got to do the will of God. You've got to go out and begin to take the steps of faith that is required. And so here I am, Jason Varnum. I turned 35 years old yesterday. That's my birthday dance. You just saw it. That's it. 35 years old. I'm a youngster. But I want to do the will of God. I do not want to look back at my life and think, man, I could have done something else. I should have done this. I want to wake up in the morning and know that I'm in the will of God. I want to walk in the will of God. But what the problem is I a lot of times, and I grew up, and I'll talk more about this a little bit later, but I wanted to do the will of God. I thought I was called to preach at a young age, but circumstances and things made me think I wouldn't do it. But I wanted to do the will of God. And I don't believe there's anybody in here wishing, oh boy, I hope I don't do the will of God. Oh, I hope I don't follow in his will. I don't think there's anybody here that's thinking, man, I hope I miss the will of God a million miles. Lord, let me miss your will. I don't think anybody prayed that this morning. I don't think that we have the attitude, boy, I just want to miss the will of God. But I think that we sometimes feel inadequate that we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We feel something. We are moved by something. Something stirs in us. Something is awakened in us. And I can feel it awaken in me at times. But then I look at the task ahead of me. And the will of God is, are you serious now? You want me to do that? You want this to happen? I just don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to work for me. Brother Glover, it hasn't changed, has it? I'm still all over the place. I can't stand still. I just don't think it's going to work for me. I don't believe that... That I can accomplish that. And we find even in the Word of God a man that we talk about his power and his walk with God and his amazing feats through God that he did. And it was Moses. Moses was he was in the will of God. Matter of fact, before he even was making his own decisions, his parents were helping him fulfill the will of God. They were stepping out in faith. They were doing what they could do to help him. And I won't take time to go through the whole story, but there came a time that Moses came of age and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so here he goes, and he goes out and he tries to take the will of God into his own hands, and it don't really work out all that well. And so now he's on the backside of a desert where no one is. So it was the first 40 years. He was 40 years old as he was raised up in Pharaoh's house, and then he spent the next 40 years out in the desert. Then the next 40 years he spent there in the wilderness and bringing his children out, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I heard an old preacher one time say he spent the first 40 years becoming somebody, the second 40 years becoming a nobody, and the third 40 years finding out what God could do with a somebody that was willing to become a nobody. And that's what God really did. He took somebody that had everything, that had nothing, and then did great things. That's what God sometimes has to do to us to wake us up. Lord, please help me to wake up before I reach that point. But now he's out there, and he's in the desert, and he's out there with his sheep, and I'm sure he was doing, just out there having a good old time. I don't know what you do with sheep. Any sheep or people in here? Sheepers, shepherds, whatever they are, sheepy people. He said, I don't know what they were doing, but he was out there and he's walking and he sees this brush fire going on. And so he starts looking up in God's mountain. And I wonder what the Bible says. He began to wonder at the sight. I wonder what's going on in God's mountain. Well, there's something powerful about just a wonder. We could preach that for a long time. Hallelujah. But I wonder what's going on up there. So he began to go up and begin to look, and God began to speak to him. And we find, I don't know if you can pull it up fast, but Exodus, I believe, is chapter 4 and verse 2, God is speaking to him and saying, I want you to go do this, and I want you to go do that. And Moses, he's backpedaling. He's saying, oh, God, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do that. And God asked him a question in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. He looks at Moses, and he simply asks, he said, what is in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. Moses was saying, just keep that up there for a little bit. Moses was saying, in a few minutes, we're going to go, maybe, I think it's in Exodus 4 and 20, but that'll be in a couple minutes. Here he is now, and he's standing there, and he's making all the excuses. Well, God, I can't do this, and I can't do that. And God does not look at him and say, well, you haven't been to Bible school and haven't finished that yet. Or, well, you haven't accomplished this or accomplished that yet. He simply looks at Moses and says, what is in your hand? And Moses just looks down and says, a rod. And God basically says, okay, I'll use that. God does not go around asking for things that people do not have. He's not here looking at you, judging you, looking you up and down, saying, well, oh, if you, I've got a work for you to do, Brother Tom, but oh, no, you don't have what you need. No. Oh, I've got a great thing I need you. No, oh, no. God's not in the business of disqualifying all these people. He simply said, okay, what you got? I've got this. Okay, I will use that. I'm not looking for what you don't have. I'm looking for what you do have. And if you'll give me what you have, you'll be amazed what I can do with it. God is here. The devil's lying to a few of us, saying, no, we're here in this church, and this is all we're going to do. We're going to sit here, clap our little hands, go home, come back next Sunday. That's all I'm going to do, because I don't have anything else. It's not because you don't want to do the will of God, and it's not because you don't have something burning on the inside of you. You feel inadequate. You feel like you don't have what it takes, but God's not asking you for what you don't have. He's saying, just give me what you got. Just give me what's in your hand, and I can change a world with it. Come on, let's all clap our hands to the Lord right now. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. God is not in the business of saying, come on, don't you have a little bit more? Oh, aren't you just a little bit smarter? Aren't you just a little bit taller, a little bit shorter? Aren't you just, come on, just, no, what do you got? Stick. I'll use a stick, but it's so ordinary. But I remember carving this out. It was just down the road. I needed something. This is... So I'm just looking for someone willing to give me. What would happen when they came into the New Testament and they looked at the men and they looked at them and said that they were ignorant and unlearned men? They looked at them and said, there's no way that they could do what they need to do. Well, how did they accomplish what they accomplished then? I'll tell you how they accomplished what they accomplished. Here they are. They're walking to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there's a man laying down there expecting alms, and he's saying, just give me a little something. And so Peter, here he goes, searching in his pocket, and he looks at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And he didn't have what they thought they were going to get, but he was willing to give him what he got. God's not looking. I'm going to say it over and over again till you leave this place with it beating with every heartbeat. God's not asking you for what you don't have. He's saying, give me what you got. Just put it in my hands. Just give it to me. Stop giving the excuses. Stop looking for a way out. And give God what's in your hand. Now, I'm not going to preach long here. It says up here, now is the time. This almost is like the I am that I am the I am. You can put whatever you want. I am your healer. I am your provider. Now is the time to quit. Now is the time to keep preaching. You can do whatever you need to do right there. Right now, we're going to, now is the time to keep preaching. But I'm not going to preach much longer right now. But I can't say now is the time for us to get rid of our excuses about why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing for God. I'm not talking about something I'm putting on you. I'm talking about a burden that God put inside of you. I'm talking about the will of God for your life that you felt inside of you at a camp meeting or maybe up here at an altar when a man of God preached that God sowed seed into the innermost being of you. But then you got up from there and you said, I don't have what it takes to accomplish the will that's inside of me. I don't have. And so we walk away from the will of God while God's standing there saying, come on, just give me what you got. Hey, I'm the one that put that desire in you. I'm the one that put that passion in you. Hey, don't leave quite yet. Just give me what you got. That's all God ever asked for. There they are, 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, I don't know how many women and children that is. I know my mom is the baby of 14 kids. That's a lot of kids. I don't care who you are, okay? That's just a lot of kids. My dad's the baby of 7. That's a lot of kids, too. 14's more of us. I don't know how many of the kids they had back then because they say they used to have a lot of kids to help work the farms. 5,000 men plus women and children. I don't know how many were out there. But they were all worried about what they didn't have. Oh, we got to send them away. We don't have what we got to go. Well, what you got? We don't have it. No, seriously, what you got? I don't know exactly what I even have. Let me go look around. Okay, fine. Here. I told you. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Okay. Hello. Let's go. No. Just give me what you got. Did I ask you for what you did not have? Have I ever tried to put on you what you could not do? No, I'm not asking you for what you don't have. I'm not asking you for the abilities that you feel like are way out of your reach. I'm saying if you will give me what you have, and he began to take what they were willing to give him and begin to break it and begin to give it. And all of a sudden, miracles begin to happen. Not because they went and got some degree. Not because they went and learned some great thing. Not because they got some magical talent, but because they were willing to put in God's hands what they had. That's all God's looking for from you. He's not looking at you and saying, you've got to have more than this. You've got to be able to do more than this. That's not what God's doing. He says, what's in your hand? You need to look at what's already in your life and use it for God and watch what God will do with it. I'm not about to say what I'm saying for any type of pity party. I'm probably a little bit, because of a good mom and a good dad, I'm probably a little bit too confident in myself. Lord, help me. But I was raised and I had a great mom, a great dad, but I had some few issues. And I felt the call of God, though. I had a speech impediment. And if I get tired, it starts coming out. It's pretty funny. My children think it's great. But I had a problem saying my awes. They used to love to hear me say, Wickety Wabbit went down the crooked road to get a crooked carrot. How many crooked carrots could Wickety Wabbit eat? Oh, they would just laugh and laugh and laugh. Such great fun. Thanks. Oh, yeah, it was just barrel laughs. But, you know, I had that going on. Then I was the middle child. I don't even want to talk about that. Good old middle child syndrome, right? But then I grew up and I had dyslexia. I couldn't read. Couldn't spell. Couldn't do this stuff. I graduated dead last in class. But thank God I graduated. Hallelujah. But, you know, I had a call of God in my life. There was no doubt that I had a call of God in my life. I knew it. I felt it. I've been in the presence of God. I cried out in his presence. But, I got to thinking, man, if I want to be a preacher, at least got to be able to read, right? I got to be able to read the word. Come on now. And I've got to be able to do something. I mean, I can't you know, so what in the world am I going to do? I feel this call. And so I kept just backing up, not because I did not, because I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, I am talking to people right here, right now, that God's got things for you, and you're doing just like me. I'm not trying to put a burden in you today. You've already felt the burden. It's already been placed in you, but we feel like, okay, God has asked this of me, but oh, I don't have what it takes to fulfill what's in your heart and in your mind. And that's why I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew that God had called me. And when I was very young, you know, of course, when you're young, you don't think things all the way through. And so I was proclaiming I was going to do all kinds of great things. But as I became a teenager, got older, I began to think, well, how am I going to do it? I got to be able to, you know, I'll be a laughingstock. What in the world? I can't do this. And this message got in me. I didn't preach it at that time, but this understanding and this thought got in my heart and my mind. And all of a sudden, God began to speak to me and say, Jason, listen, I'm not asking you for what you do not have. I'm asking you for what's in your hands. Now, let me say this. Now, if I have enough time and I'm by myself and it's alone in a room and I have time to read something, I can read it. But I want to say this, not for sympathy and not for whatever you think, but I want you to understand this. I do. I want you to get it inside of you. But God didn't fix me. God didn't all of a sudden say, oh, boom, now you're a great reader. Whoa. He didn't all of a sudden just do this great thing, and all of a sudden everything is just perfect and dandy. Now, no, he did not. It was still a stick. It was still just me trying to fumble my way through the pages and trying to figure out what's going on. And I didn't say it before for your sympathy, and I'm not saying it now for any gratitude. But I'm telling you, I preached around the world. I preached on just about every continent. I preached all through the place, not because of me, but I realized God was not asking me for what I did not have. He was saying, what's in your hand? And when I was willing to give God what I had, he used it and he changed me and he changed. God's not asking you for what you don't have. He's simply saying, give me what you got. You want to know what made the difference? Go to Exodus 4:20. Moses took his wife, his sons, put them on the grass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hands. You know what made the difference? When it wasn't his stick no more. It was God's stick. You know what the problem is? This is my ability. This is what I can do. I can't do it. No. It's when it stops being your stick and it stops being your rod and it stops being your ministry and it stops being your abilities and it becomes God's. And when it becomes God's, he can take it and put it across the sea. And it what did he use? What was in his hand? And it began to move. And the children of Israel were saved because he was willing to take what was his and make it God's. God's waiting for somebody to get out of where you are and go somewhere and simply use what you got. Lift your hands and pray right now. Pray in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, that's it. I'm asking you to push yourself a little bit with me right now. Lift your voice just for a moment. Come on, that's it. Come on, you're starting to break into something right there. There you go. I feel the Holy Ghost. I can see tears. It's already starting to flow down people's eyes right now. Come on, the devil's been trying to put this weight on you and tell you you can't do anything. And you're torn with a burden, but you feel like you can't do it. God's never asked you to do anything you couldn't do. And then that's it. Just keep praying. I'm almost done. My grandpa used to tell this story. My dad, actually, dad just told it the other night again. Two old country guys on the front porch, rocking. said, hey, my friend. Hey, my friend. I said, how long we been friends? Oh, you know we can't even remember how long we've been friends. Yeah, I know. He said, listen, since we're such good friends and all, feel that coming, don't you? Tell me something. If you had $1 million, would you give me half? He said, you're my friend. You know if I had $1 million, I'd give you half. Yeah. They were rocking. He said, listen, if you had 2 houses, would you give me one? He said, we've known each other our whole lives. You know if I had 2 houses, I'd give you one. Yeah. He said, tell me, if you had 2 mules, he said, wait a minute, now you know I've got 2 mules. We're always willing to give God what we don't have, aren't we? Oh, I'm willing to go where? Where will you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Where? I'll go overseas. I'll go to the... Well, I'll go... How about just across the street? How about just that person that's checking you out in line? How about that person that you pass that you can see hurt is on them every time you pass them? How about that person? Oh, we're so willing to give God what we don't have. How about what's in our hands right here today in this place? God's already put things in your hands. Why don't we use what God has given us? I'm telling you, if we would get out of the mentality of, oh, I feel the burden, but I don't have what it takes, God will have everything you need. He can give it to whatever is already in your hand. You just say, this is what it is. It's just a few loaves and fishes. I'll take it. It's just a stick. I'll take it. It's not very much. It's just a little bit of a singing voice. I'll take it. It's just a little bit of ability to teach a Bible study. I'll take it. He's not looking for what you don't have. He's saying, just give it. Give me. Give me. Give me. Give me what you've got. Anybody here ever heard of Charlie Wycliffe? Yeah. Not our church. Am I talking to our church? Yeah, I didn't think so. Charlie Wycliffe was a powerful man of God. He got the Holy Ghost as a teenager. And he came home. And the baptism and the Holy Ghost may get mixed up here, but he either got baptized in first or got the Holy Ghost. But he came with one of those experiences home. That's called being born again in the water of the Spirit. You got to have both. Well, you're half born. Okay. I won't go into all that. And so, Charlie Wycliffe comes home and his daddy meets him. Somebody had told his daddy that your boy was down at that church. So his dad told him, he said, you can't ever go back to that church again. Charlie tried to obey his dad, but kept pulling at him. His spirit, he had been changed by the power of God. He had been stirred by something. When you're touched by the anointing, I'm telling you, it changes you. It's not about your abilities. And let me just pause and say this. There's so many people, you got to bring God just what you have. You don't get good and get God. You get God, then you get good. You're not going to fix everything before you come to God. You got to come to God just as you are. And if you think there's any other way to come to God, because all of us are equal at the foot of the cross, and there ain't one of us that's ever better than the other, you just got to come to God like you are. In the name of Jesus, I bind all that fear and that doubt that would get in people's hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Charlie Wycliffe. He went back. I think he was baptized. And he came back. His dad met him at the front door because he heard again that he was there. He threw all of his clothes out in the streets, and when Charlie walked in the house, he took a frying pan and began to beat Charlie in the head with a frying pan till blood hit the ceiling, they said. And he threw him out in the front of the street, in front of his house. Charlie came to himself out there and gathered up what clothes he could, staggered to the street and finally got someone to pick him up, and he traveled, and he'd been in church but just a few services. Because of the frying pan, he got brain damage. They say before that he didn't have it, but he went to, from what I understand, went, got a hitchhike to the next city, got out on the corner after just a few services and began to preach what he knew. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, that sounds really good, but Charlie couldn't talk like that no more. He talked like this, and he would just do what he could. He couldn't read, couldn't do anything anymore, and he began to preach all over the place, and miracles began to happen. He would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray when everybody else would go to bed, and when they woke up in the morning, he would still be there praying, talking to God. One day, my father, after he had just started pastoring the church, my dad started pastoring the church that I'm pastoring now when he was 18 years old. I don't even want to think about what I'd have done in the church at 18 years old. But he just gave God what he had, and miracles began to happen. And Brother Charlie Wycliffe was one of the first great revivals that broke out in that church. And Charlie Wycliffe showed up at my dad's house. My dad had never met him. Dad walks in his house, and Charlie Wycliffe is sitting in my dad's house. And he says, Brother Barnum, God told me to come here and preach you a revival. And Dad thought, oh, did he now? Luckily, my mom knew him. Some different people, maybe Dad had heard of him somewhere. But Dad, being led by the Holy Ghost, said, yeah, go ahead. And he would get up, and he could not read, but he would get up, and he would look at his, he would look at the audience. He'd say, Brother Barnum, I want you to find that scripture where the man built his house on the rock and the man built his house on the sand. And Dad would read the scripture about the man, the wise man that built his house on the rock, and the foolish man that built his house on the sand, and the wind that came, and the flood that came, and the one that built his house on the rock, it stood, and the one that built his house on the sand washed away. And when we get done reading, Charlie Wycliffe would look out and say, same religion won't do, same religion won't do. You got to get your feet on the rock. Same religion won't do, same religion won't do. And he would say it over and over again. He didn't have the ability to break it down and to say it, but people would begin to pour out of the pews and begin, those that were hard-hearted, those that no one else could break. You don't want to know what happened? Charlie stopped thinking about what he didn't have and began to give God what he had, and lives were changed. And here we are thinking about, oh, I don't have this ability or that ability, and God's saying, give me a Charlie Wycliffe that will give me what's in his hands and what. That's what I will do with it. If you will make up in your mind today, I'm not going to sit back anymore. I'm not going to lay down anymore. I'm going to give God what's in my hand. Stand with me. Right where you are, begin to pray before you begin to move. Just begin to talk to God right where you are. That's it. Let those tears flow, ma'am. That's it, sir. Dig in just a little bit more right now. I'm talking to people young and old. Some of you lived your whole life with a burden, and you feel so pulled down because you don't think you have what it takes to do it. I'm telling you, it's a lie from the devil. God will never put a burden on you that he wouldn't fulfill in you. You've got a pastor that's looking for people to go out and do something. Don't do it on your own. Go through your pastor, but stop sitting there waiting on everything perfect to happen and everything perfect to take place in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Sister Glover. I want this atmosphere to be different than normal. I don't want us just to be able to be moved with the music. I don't want us just to be able to just kind of flow with our normal routine. Because your normal routine thus far may be not taking you where you wanted to go quite yet. Today you're going to have to get something inside of you. Will you look at that little stick and you just that you've disqualified for so many years. And you keep thinking, well, I've got dyslexia. Or I can't read and I can't write. And I'm not pretty. I'm too ugly. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I don't have the right pedigree. My family, you don't know what I've come from. You're going to have to take that stick raw just like it is and simply bring it to Jesus and say, here it is. I don't know what you can do with this. It's just a couple of loaves and a couple of fishes. I don't know what you could do with this, but I want to be used by you, God. I want to do your will. I want to do your will. One more time, right where you are. We're about to take a step of faith. But right now, begin to pray. Right now, begin to intercede. Right now, begin to reach into the depths of your soul. I don't know how long it's been since you really opened up, but today's a good day for you to give your heart back to God. I don't know how long it's been since you've prayed, but today's a good day for you to come to God again. I don't know how long it's been since that burden has burned in your soul, but today it's time to be awakened, and it's time for you to take what you have and give it to God. There it is. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the pulling right now. Right now, ask the person beside you, would you like to go pray and come on to the front? No music driving you. Just ask the person, will you come and pray with me? And come find a place to pray. Come find a place. Go ahead. Ask the question. Would you like to pray? And come on down and say, God, I need you. Find a place to kneel. Find a place to stand. But say, I'm giving you what I have, God. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of going through the rituals. I want to be used by you. I want to do a work for you. There's a passion in my heart. Oh, Jesus, awaken something within me today. Here I am, God. I stand before you. I need you. There it is. That's the Holy Ghost moving right there. I don't know how long the devil's been telling you you'll never do a work for God. I don't know how long the devil's been trying to convince you that you're never going to do anything. But it's a lie. God's not asking you for what you don't have. He's not looking for those that have the right pedigree. He's looking for those that's willing to give him what they have. But there it is. There's a breakthrough happening right now. That's it. Yes, 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 yes. There it is. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. That's it. Let the Holy Ghost. Ministers move and pray right now. Ministers move and pray. That's it. That's God. God's trying to help you. God's trying to stir you. God's trying to move you. God, I'm tired of being ordinary. I'm tired of just going through the movements.